This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
A little after 5 o'clock, Friday afternoon, Dave Glover Show. Tony Colombo in for Dave today. Dave is unbelievably taking off his first day of 2020. And good timing, just needed to take a little bit of time off and extend the holiday weekend. So Dave is out today. Rachel and I are here. Sue, of course, is alongside as well. And coming up here in just a little bit, we're going to play the new weekly game, the National Day Woo! Quiz. So we'll give that a shot. It's week 2. I think this is going to be the deciding week. Last week it went okay.
It went great.
We'll see how this week goes.
What, Sue?
You didn't like the game last week, Sue?
No, I just lost. That's all I'm saying.
Dave was dominant last week.
He was killing it last week.
He was dominant. So, you know.
He's out, Sue. This
is our
chance.
He's not here. And I'll tell you what, it wasn't as easy to put together the questions this week because the days were very bizarre. So, we'll see. We'll see if week 2 goes as well as week 1, and maybe this will be a new regular thing. So keep it here for that. Also, coming up a little bit later, the president made a lot of news today when he was talking about churches reopening across the country. And I took this opportunity to give my friend Pastor John Michael Brown a call because I know that our church has been dealing with those issues of what's the appropriate timeline on reopening and what do you do in these churches, you know, the issues and concerns that they have as they bring people back into the churches. So we're going to talk to Pastor John Michael Brown about an hour from now about that stuff. So keep it here for all of that. And as I mentioned just a few minutes ago, joining us now on the phone is our friend Mike Ferguson, of course, part of the 97.1 family, the host of American Viewpoints, which you can hear every Sunday morning here on the station. And it's great to talk with you, Mike. How's it going? Oh, I keep
You know, Dave is getting the weekend started, so he's probably not in any condition to comprehend what's being said right now. So you can go ahead and do whatever you want with this show. He's not going to know. It's okay.
That's right. No, and nobody tell him, okay? So it's great. It's great to talk with you, my friend. The last time you and I spoke, with Chris Harps was just with us for the entire last hour, my co-host on the Weekend Report. And the last time you and I spoke was on the Weekend Report, and you were finishing up your recovery process from battling coronavirus. And your story is one of the more serious ones that we have heard about and talked about. You had some time there in the ICU. And so I wanted to have you on today for several reasons. One, to kind of just tell this audience a little bit about that process, about your story and what you went through, because I think it provides a lot of insight, you know, when you're hearing what this virus is like from the viewpoint of someone who experienced it rather than some politicians or reporters and pundits on television telling you what this virus is all about. But then also because one of the biggest stories of the week had to do with hydroxychloroquine, when the president said that he was taking that drug as a preventative, essentially, from coronavirus. I know that that drug was part of your treatment process. And so getting your insight and experience of having taken the drug as part of your treatment of coronavirus, I think, again, provides some details and real factual information about to people about that drug. So it is as condensed of a version as you can without leaving out anything important. Can you just kind of give us the timeline of what you experienced with coronavirus and take us up to that hydroxychloroquine part of the story?
Yeah, I mean, as near as we can tell, basically I had a five-week run with this thing. And the virus affects people. And some people get it and never have a symptom. You know, and other people get it and they test positive and they're like, oh, I just thought I had a cold. For me, it was, other than dying, it was a pretty bad, you know, worst case scenario because I was, you know, in the hospital for so long and ICU. But, you know, very early March, remember, I ran up to Chicago a couple of days because I just want to take a couple of days off. And as near as we can tell, that's probably where I got exposed to it. And we knew what it was, but nobody was freaking out over it. So doorknob, handrail, countertop at a coffee shop, you know, a restaurant or bar I went and saw some, you know, blues music played. So who knows where I got exposed to it. And then, you know, after I got sick, I ended up in the hospital for 9 days. Three of those were in the ICU. It was funny, just on a side note, my wife and I were just talking a few minutes ago. She said, you know, she goes, other than COVID-19, when you had to be put in the ICU, she goes, I don't remember you ever being sick. I just don't get sick hardly at all. But man, when this hit me, it hit me really, really hard. So 9 days in the hospital, 3 days of that in the ICU. And then really, I still had a couple weeks of recovery after that. You know, they just kind of said, okay, we're discharging you because you're getting better. We like where everything is. And frankly, we need the room, because that was that first big wave of coronavirus patients. Now they've got plenty of room, but at that time they were really worried about getting overwhelmed, even though they never did. Yeah. With the hydroxychloroquine, that was like, I was one of the first people to get that because they were just looking at the data from France and all that kind of stuff. But it was only going to the people who were in pretty severe cases. You know, if somebody had minor symptoms, I don't think they were getting it at the time. And I can only speak from my own experience, but I can tell you that within about a day and a half, so I mean, really within about, you know, 36 hours, I started feeling a lot better. And I was on it for 3 days. And it was after the third day that they said, you're on the right track. We're going to go ahead and start the process of discharging you. And, you know, I'm seeing all these news stories about how it's people are more likely to die and, you know, going after the president for taking it. And, you know, to me, it just like if the president had a glass of water, I'm sure somebody would find a study that says water could be deadly.
Well,
you know, 100% of the people in this focus group who died had drank water. So clearly the president's being irresponsible.
And I think it's important for part of this story, too, for people to know that you are also in one of those groups that has heightened concern because you have a history with some heart problems. And that's what everybody says about this hydroxychloroquine is that it's bad for your heart. But I find it impossible to believe that your doctors, while you're in the ICU, knowing your condition, would give you a drug that could harm your heart if they didn't think it was, obviously, you know, the right thing to do for your treatment, and then you did have that positive reaction to it. So,
right.
So when you see all this in the media, all this discussion, my quick take is, it's not the president who is prescribing any of these treatments or any of these drugs to people. And as you just mentioned, it's the media scrutiny because he happens to recommend it that now suddenly he's the one prescribing it and killing people. It's the doctors. It's the educated doctors across the country that know the patient that they are dealing with that are prescribing this. You can't just say, oh, I saw it on television that hydroxychloroquine might prevent coronavirus, so I'm going to stop at Walgreens and pick it up. It doesn't work like that. Your doctors knew that this was something, or at least thought it was something that could help you, and apparently it was a very positive experience for you. So what are your thoughts when you see, you know, this debate raging on television?
It really kind of ticks me off. I'll be really honest because, you know, I'm not going to pretend to be a pharmacist. I'm not going to pretend to be a doctor. But what I know is that the doctor who was working with me and the nurses who were working with me said, we think this will help you. And all I'm really hearing, and listen, and there's some things I disagree with the president on, and I've critiqued him and gotten myself in trouble on conservative radio plenty of times. But what I hear him saying is, this could be promising. This is promising. I think the government should not stop doctors from using this on their patients if they think it works. So it's just the president saying, get out of the way. You know, if a doctor wants to try it, if a patient's willing to do it, this shouldn't be a political issue. But we've actually politicized freaking coronavirus, and we've politicized medicines, and now we've got government, you know, standing potentially in the way, Congress saying and governors saying, you know, that we need to step in and regulate these things. Well, that to me is just asinine, and it's immoral. I mean, you know, I Republican or Democrat, you know, when you get elected to office, you're not bestowed medical wisdom. you're just not. I mean, so, you're not given any wisdom. No, exactly. But I think that this entire debate and the White House press corps and all the pundits, I think them freaking out about this has more to do with them hating Donald Trump than it does them being worried about whether a medication could hurt somebody or not hurt somebody. I really do think that that's what this is all about. And I'm not a MAGA, you know, hat wearing person. I think the president does a lot of things right. There's a few things I think he does wrong. But to me, just looking from the media observer perspective, I think this really is about hatred of Donald Trump.
Got a couple minutes left with Mike Ferguson, the host of American Viewpoints. You can hear it every Sunday morning, 5 a.m. here on 97.1 FM Talk, talking about his experience with COVID-19 and hydroxychloroquine. And as you mentioned there at the beginning of how, you know, you caught the virus, you said you were just traveling, and who knows? Like you said, you could have picked it up from a doorknob or sitting at the bar somewhere. So knowing that, how you caught it and the experience that you went through, how do you feel about the reopening timeline that we are on? The city and county just started their reopening this week. A lot of people traveling for Memorial Day weekend. It's going to be the first time a lot of these people get out, you know, in months. Are you supportive of the reopening process and where we're at, or are you more cautious because of what you went through?
The short answer is yes, I am supportive of it. I think two things can be true at the same time. I think that people are fully capable of being responsible and protecting themselves. Matter of fact, there's now data showing that people were changing their behavior and becoming more safe before the lockdowns went in effect. Mm. So I think that there's also a cost that's hurting people in the response to this. I mean, for instance, you know, you mentioned my heart thing. That's actually been fixed because I had a heart procedure. I actually had a heart surgery in the meantime, but the doctor had to beg and convince them that I really needed this because they weren't allowing, you know, they weren't allowing anything that wasn't considered like emergency. And mine, you know, mine was definitely serious, but we had to beg. I mean, the lockdowns are keeping people in some cases from like getting their regularly scheduled chemo, getting heart stuff. I mean, the unintended consequences of this are hurting people just as well. You know, as far as like, you know, churches, I think churches should have been suing on day one just on First Amendment grounds. I'm glad some of them are, but I noticed that they're only suing Democratic politicians, not Republican ones. So I think there's some hypocrisy there, but I'll get off that boat. But yeah, I think that the lockdowns have been too draconian, and I think they should have been lifted already because no, it's bad business for a business to hurt their employees and hurt their customers. And I really do think those market incentives, really, if we let them work, we'll let them work. You know, so when we didn't know what we were dealing with, I'll allow some wiggle room in my mind that, okay, they had to do something. Politicians are under a bunch of pressure to do something, anything. And so they did. But once we saw that the curve was flattened, so to speak, that was supposed to be the goal. Just do this so we flatten the curve.
Yeah.
Well, we did. Yeah, so stop moving the goalposts on us.
It's a great
Let people
point.
Get back to work.
Great point. Mike Ferguson, it's great to talk with you. The last time we talked, you were still coughing, and it's just great to hear you back happy and healthy. And before we let you go, what's on American Viewpoints this Sunday at 5 a.m., and how can people follow you and keep up what's happening on the show?
Okay, on Twitter is the best way, at AVP Radio Show. Love to connect with people there. It's kind of a new account, so come on, get my follow count up, people. You can also look up American Viewpoints on Facebook. But we're doing something really kind of cool. The first segment of the show, did you see that Netflix series, Waco?
No.
Oh, you got to watch that. You've got to watch that. So I'm actually talking with not just a political science professor, but an actual film critic. And we're talking about some of the questions this thing raised as far as, like, militarizing law enforcement. So we actually start the show off talking about Waco, the miniseries from Netflix. It's really, really thought-provoking. It was really a good conversation.
Great stuff. We'll be checking it out, American Viewpoints, every Sunday, 5 a.m. here on 97.1. Mike Ferguson, thanks for your time. Have a great weekend.
You too, guys. Hope I can see you in person soon.
Yeah, amen to that. All right, got to take a quick break. When we get back, National Day Challenge.
Let's do it.
Don't go anywhere. You're listening to The Dave Glover Show, 97.1 FM Talk.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back to the Dave Glover Show, 97.1 FM Talk. Tony Colombo in for Dave today. He's back on Tuesday. On Monday, on the holiday, we're going to be bringing you a best of the Dave Glover Show, replaying some of the best games that we've played here recently. Also replaying Dave Murray's summer forecast. So still going to be a fun show on Monday for you to check out. And on Tuesday, the whole gang will be back together live in studio. So right now we are going to play the National Day Challenge. Started this last week. This might be an every Friday game going forward. We'll see how
Sue and I vote yes.
How it goes. So how it works is I look back at the week that was, and I look at all of the national days from that week, which is very, you'd be very surprised at how many of them there are in a given week and even in just a given day. So there's lots to choose from. This week was very bizarre. One of the days today was National May Ray Day.
What?
I don't even know how to explain it. That was the 19th, National May Ray Day.
Is it Mary?
It has to do with people named Ray. Seriously. I'm not making that up.
Oh, so make. Okay.
The 20th was National Quiche Lorraine Day, among many other things.
Sue, what is Quiche Lorraine?
That is just straight out quiche. It's mainly just cheese. It's eggs and usually Swiss cheese.
Oh,
so
okay.
These are all eight questions. A couple of them are multiple point questions, all dealing with different national days that happened this week. We have a tiebreaker at the end if we need it, and of course the ever popular QMD at the very end of the game, the question of mass destruction. If you are able to get that right, it's an automatic win and you steal the game from the person that has won it to that point.
And everybody, bacon, Rachel.
Everybody
also
got it?
Goes
ooh,
in.
Yeah.
Yeah, uh-huh.
All right. You buzz in with your name. And if you get the question right, you get a point. If you get it wrong, you don't lose anything because we encourage participation. Everybody ready?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Here we go. Sue is playing, Andrew is playing, and Rachel is playing. This is the National Day Challenge, week of 5/18/20. Number one, Sunday. I should say 17 because Sunday. Sunday was National Idaho Day. Which was the easiest one to get questions for, so that's going to be the most questions.
Okay.
Sunday was National Idaho Day, so that's where we will start. What city is the capital of Idaho? Yes, Andrew.
Boise.
That is correct.
Dang it, Andrew.
Okay, hold on. I got to make a scoreboard.
You're so fast.
Andrew, Sue, Rachel. I should have had that done. All right. 1-0. Andrew has the lead. Question number 2. Idaho is, of course, known for its...
I was going to say potato, but you already were saying that. Okay, potato production. How many does it do a year? How many tons does it do a year? That's what I'm making up in my head.
Wow, all right.
Sorry, potatoes.
Are you going to try to give an answer? Or you just want to sit this one out?
Okay. No, I'm going to say 4 tons.
Okay.
Thank
you. That is incorrect. Thank you, Sue. All right. Rachel and Andrew, here's the rest of the question. Idaho is, of course, known for its potatoes, and it is the number one supplier of potatoes in the United States. Within two, what percentage of America's potatoes are grown in Idaho? What percentage of America's potatoes are grown in Idaho? Yes.
65.
Incorrect.
I'm going to guess 80.
29%.
Oh. What? Are you kidding me?
Only 29%.
Why do they get all the potato credit
in? It's still the most.
But how many tons is that?
Probably four. That's what I'm saying.
Six big points on the line in this question. So the first person that buzzes in can maybe get a couple of them, but if they get it wrong, then somebody else can buzz in and get the rest of the points. Okay. Make sense?
Yes.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, yeah.
Six big points on the line here. Question number 3. For 1 point each, name the states that border Idaho.
Andrew. Missouri.
Are you?
What?
No, that's
crazy.
That's,
oh,
he's done.
Okay.
All
right.
It's out of Soon Rage.
All right. I'll try.
Okay, Sue.
All right. Idaho's up there. Mm-hmm. Is Montana one?
Montana is one. That's 1 point.
That's what I meant to say.
Is Wyoming one?
Wyoming is one. That's 2 points.
I have used up my expertise.
All right.
Right. How about Utah?
Utah is one.
Whoa, I don't know where Idaho is.
It's not next to Missouri.
How many are there? God dang it.
There are six. You got 3 of them.
Shoot. Okay.
This is great.
She's cussing.
Yeah.
I'm kidding.
How about, I don't think the Dakotas touch it, but that's, I'm going to throw that out there.
Come on. Need an answer.
Wyoming. North Dakota?
No.
Okay.
Rach, you want to take a shot at
the Dakotas were going to be my guesses. If she said Utah, then what about, this is going to sound stupid, Colorado?
No.
Okay.
Can I make another guess?
No, you cannot. Washington.
Washington.
Oregon, and Nevada are
all
the
those
other
weird
three
states.
It also borders Canada at the top of that little smokestack
I have
thing.
No idea.
Oh, my gosh.
It also
what the
borders,
map looks like.
It also borders Canada.
Dang it.
All right, that's it.
Did you guys
it.
Do that in geography class? Like you had to fill out the map of the United States?
Yes.
Well, place the states.
I was told to do it.
You had to color it a certain way. Like you had to make it look super
I love
nice.
The game where you place the states on the empty country.
Because it's awesome.
It is. It's fun.
Yeah.
I would
kind of nerds.
That.
All right, no more Idaho questions, I promise. Question number 4. Monday was National Cheese Soufflé Day.
I already love it.
For 1 point... properly describe a cheese souffle. Andrew?
It is like fluffy cheese, and it's real fluffy, soft.
I'm going to need a little more than that.
Come on, let me do it!
It's
5 seconds.
It rises when you cook it, when you bake it, and it's cheesy, and it's like kind of like a
all
soft
cake. You're done. Mm-hmm. Sue?
It's whipped eggs with cheese.
That is correct.
And that's what rises.
That is correct.
Cartoons.
Puffy cakes made with eggs, cheese. There you go.
Cartoons led me to believe that like souffles were going to be a much bigger part of my adult life. Because they're always like baking a souffle and like, you got to be quiet.
Now you know what I'm talking about, though, that I had to come up with questions for things like National Cheese Soufflé Day and National Memo Day was another one of this week's deals. National Solitaire Day was one of the days this week.
I like
I know,
solitaire.
Right? Yeah, okay. Question number 5.
Okay.
Andrew, one.
Tuesday was National Be a Millionaire Day.
Huh.
Within one, what percentage of Americans are millionaires?
Andrew. Sue.
Andrew. God, your buzzer's fast.
Is it? Gosh, I'm going to say.
Within one.
I'm going to say 4.
Rachel.
That is incorrect. Rachel.
2.
That is incorrect. Sue, you want to take a shot?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
It's She's American like, Millionaires.
Yes.
Let me check the magazine.
I'm going to say 5.
She's like 90.
That is correct. It is 6% of Americans are millionaires.
You naturally.
Let me check.
I was going between
monthly.
3
you
or
were
5.
Very close, Andrew. You
yeah,
were very close.
Monthly.
All right. Question number 6.
Sue,
today, Friday, is National and World Paloma Day. What is a paloma? What's a paloma?
Oh, Sue. Andrew.
Sue.
No.
It's a food.
That is incorrect.
Andrew.
Andrew.
It's a horse.
That is incorrect.
Oh.
Come on, Rachel. You got anything?
P-A-L-O-M-A. Paloma?
That is so
is
a
it
horse.
A drink?
It is a drink. Can you give me just a little bit more?
Does it have orange in it?
Can you give me just a little bit more?
Is it an orange?
It's not orange.
Come on, Rachel.
Is it a beer?
It's an alcohol.
It's an alcohol that you drink.
I'm gonna
That's
give.
Not orange.
I'm give Rachel a point.
It's so weird. That's the name of an episode of a podcast I'm listening to right now, and they haven't gotten to the Paloma part. So I can see it in my brain.
It's a drink made with tequila, grapefruit soda, and lime. And I think
Had a Paloma.
I think it's the national drink of Mexico.
I had a Paloma, and
I think
it's
I read that when I was doing the research for this game. I gave Rachel a point.
Thanks, Tony.
So Andrew has a point. Rachel has a point. Sue has 5 points.
It's a Palomo.
Question number 7. This is another multiple point question. This is another multiple point
multiple
question.
Points.
I did, but there is also a horse called a
Palomo. 5 big points on the line here. Today is also National Buy a Musical Instrument Day.
Okay.
For 1 point each, what are the most popular instruments?
Andrew.
Sue.
Andrew.
So we'll start with guitar.
Number 2.
Okay. Drums, is that too broad?
No, that is number 4. Yep, number 4.
Okay. We'll say bass guitar, right?
No.
Really?
Guitars are guitars.
Okay. Can I keep going or
no? No, you're done.
Okay.
Rachel. But you got 2 points. Rach?
Can I hear the rest of the question?
For 1 point each, what are the most popular instruments that people learn how to play in the United States?
Piano.
Oh,
number 1.
That's big.
Yeah.
Two more. If you
so we
can
said
get them.
Guitar, because
you didn't
drums.
Know the
piano, guitar, and drums are gone. Piano, guitar, and drums.
Why don't we say trumpet?
Mm-hmm. No, Sue, you want to try to get these last two?
I do.
Go
Most
for
popular
it.
In the U.S., we've got drums, we've got piano, we've got. What about the what about the clarinet?
No, that is incorrect.
Is a recorder on there?
No, it is not.
It's Grace's
what is
violin,
it? What is it?
Grace's violin. Is on there.
Yeah.
And the
I almost
saxophone.
Said that.
The
saxophone.
I also need to say we have 1 question left, but we do have the tiebreaker in the QMD, so it's not quite over yet. I do need to say that also today is my anniversary.
Yes.
So happy anniversary to my wife.
Congratulations.
Of now 16 years.
Oh, Tony,
it's
that's
awesome.
Great.
Yep, and we will be celebrating this weekend at the Lake of the Ozarks. I can't wait. So happy anniversary.
Nice.
Very cool. Question number 8. Last question.
Mm.
1 point. Tomorrow is National Lucky Penny Day. Uh-huh. Which president appears
Rachel.
On Rachel.
Oh.
Abe Lincoln.
That is correct.
I was like, what am I going to say?
That
I knew his
correct.
Name, but it wasn't coming out.
But it wasn't enough to stop Sue, who has won
Yay,
the game
Sue!
For now.
Oh.
The QMD. Yep.
QMD.
The tiebreaker, had we have needed it, I was going to go back to Idaho and say, what is the population of the state of Idaho? Closest guess would have won. It's 1.8 million. We don't need it, so we won't do it. QMD, the only way to beat Sue. Sue, you can still buzz in, though.
Okay.
You can still buzz in for an automatic win. We haven't mentioned this one yet, but today is also National Road Trip Day. The longest highway in the United States is Interstate 90, which runs from Boston, Massachusetts to Seattle, Washington. Within 100 miles, how long is Interstate 90?
Andrew.
Yes.
1,740.
No.
Okay.
Sue.
3,800? No. Rachel, for the steal.
Why don't we say 2,500?
No. 3,020 miles. Sue wins.
Yay,
she wins.
National Day Challenge. Can you tell people what we're going to hear next?
Next up, we're going to hear the weekly DGS Rewind. This one is a Mark Close-centric rewind from a couple years ago because it is his birthday.
Perfect.
Happy birthday, Mark.
Yep. Be back with more Dave Glover Show next on 97.1 FM Talk.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
Okay, guys, it's time for this week's DGS Rewind. As you know, in 2020, we're celebrating 20 years of the DGS. So Fridays at 5:45-ish, we are replaying a segment from years past to kind of just celebrate the show. Unfortunately, we haven't been playing things that are too old. We would love to play like some Katie Cruz, Tom Turbrock goodness, but there's all this technical stuff that I won't get into because it's really boring and really stupid. But anyway, we can't play those things because of certain codes and alarms will go off, and it's a technical nightmare. We're trying to get that worked out for you guys. I am personally trying my best, but I keep running into walls. So we're playing stuff basically from when we moved over to this studio because we have different equipment and we can replay it as long as we're here. Yada, yada, yada. Sorry, I'm boring myself with this. This is a little thing we did in 2018. Now, you guys may know that today is former DGS cast member and radio legend Mark Close's birthday, May 22nd. Happy birthday, Mark. And I knew that this Friday was his birthday. I wanted to find a Mark-centric piece to play for you guys. And I was clicking around from May 2018 and found this piece of audio. And as soon as I heard the word stink bug, I knew exactly what it was. And I just laughed listening to the whole thing. This is the story of a stink bug and a wasp who took up residence in Mark Close's living room and the adventures he and Fern got into as a result. It really made me laugh listening back. Like I said, this one goes out to Mark Close. Happy birthday, buddy. We love you.
In the category of no good deed goes unpunished. Last night, we're sitting around watching TV. I was with my wife, Tony. That's Fern. And Fern and I are watching TV. And
Fern's your wife.
My wife. Okay. And a wasp is in our den, flying about. Mm-hmm. And a stink bug. And the stink, you know, stink
bug.
It's
the bug's life in your den.
No kidding.
And there was a bee.
Close the damn windows. Thank you very much.
It sounded like Woody Allen.
That's right. So the stink bug, stink bug's cool because stink, they don't stink unless you squish them.
Stink bug and a wasp walk into a bar.
Walk into a bar and the stink bug says, hey, take my wife, please.
Riding on the wasp?
That's right. He was riding around a little wasp. So the wasp is there and it's kind of freaking me out and he's buzzing around. So I get a magazine. I'm going to squish him. Yeah. And Fern's like, no, just let him alone. He won't do anything. Let him. He's been here like part of the day. Let him alone.
We're friends.
Yeah. Yeah. Let him alone. Obviously, his name is Bruce.
That's Waspy.
Really? Hey, Waspy. The stink bug, you can squish the hell out of him. So anyway.
Waspy lets me play with the thermostat.
That's right. So Waspy is flying around. And I'm standing and we've got Beaner on the phone and she goes, what's going on over there? And I go, there's a wasp. And she goes, and Fern's like, just let him alone. Just sit down. And she's getting mad at me. She's just leave him alone. He's not going to do it. I go, no, he's a wasp. Let him alone. I go, all right. This is Fern, my wife. So I finally sit down.
Thank you.
We're talking on the phone to my daughter. And all of a sudden,
the wasp stings Fern.
On the foot.
Yes.
Stung her right on the foot. And I got up.
That's the closest corner.
I did a little
and
dance.
I rubbed that in her face all night.
I did a dance of joy.
She deserved it.
Me and the stink bug are high-fiving. It was incredible. I'm like, and she's like, oh, it stung me. And I go, you idiot. I could have taken this bug out in a heartbeat. So anyway,
did you go kill it then, or did you open the door to let more in?
Oh, I was going to say, call your friends. I said.
Mark's like, I'm going to take my time with you now.
Really, let's linger on this.
Yes.
Let's savor it. How did it happen?
We're sitting in there, and after a while, she goes, let the wasp alone. I'm like, all right. So I sit down. We're talking, and she's got her feet up on a, like on a, what do you call it, little.
Ottoman.
Thank you, an ottoman. And. And we're sitting, and all of a sudden, we're talking to Beaner, and Fern goes, oh, I go, I beg your pardon. And she felt it land on her, and then she, like, tried to push it away, and it stung her right on the top of her foot.
Wow.
And it's just
that's
like,
a bad place to get stung,
and
too.
And she's like, oh, it stung me. And then some expletives came
that's
flying.
That's got to be like top five moments of your life.
Oh.
That's pretty sweet. You know, top 20 of my life. I love it.
I'm grabbing my phone. I can't figure out how to take pictures.
Did he get away? Do wasps like die when they sting?
No, they don't.
No,
they
not wasps.
No, those are honeybees. Yeah, honeybees lose it. They don't lose their stinger. And they put venom, and man, you look down and you could see the red dot on her foot.
Wasp stings.
Yeah.
Oh.
It didn't.
But you killed him?
Oh, big time.
Killed
him
dead.
She went back.
Your new best friend.
She went back. We talked a little bit before I said, I'm sorry.
You're like, I hate to do this.
I got to take you out, pal. I'm sorry. The old lady's going to drive me nuts.
That was awesome.
But it just, and then she was in the bathroom and she's like,
no hard feelings.
Really? And I walked in, I go, I have avenged you, my dove. And I see, what I go, I killed that.
Yikes.
I killed. And then it got really, and then it got
is
really crazy.
Thing?
How did it get weirder?
Oh, you're so handsome. Thank you.
It did. It just got weirder.
You're so handsome. Thank you.
Thank you. She goes, you are my.
Oh my God. I'm not sure what emotion I'm feeling right now.
I feel
revulsion.
Crazy.
How about that? I opened every window and the place is just teeming with bugs.
You're really happy right now.
It was just so weird. She's
just
in
telling stories.
Let it
and
alone.
Doing voices.
Let it alone. Let the bug alone. I'm like, okay.
You're
my handsome.
I've avenged you, my dove.
My
you're
dove.
So handsome.
I call her that, my dove.
Thank you.
Yeah, you think?
My favorite was when he high-fived the stink bug.
The stink bug. Give me five, bug. Yeah.
Good.
What happened to the stink bug?
He's still there. He was there this morning. He's still hanging.
They only stink if you smush them.
That's correct.
And are they the same as potato bugs?
I think so. They kind of they're pretty goofy. They got a real wide body on them, and they're just
Tell me more.
Leave that one alone.
You might want to call somebody.
Yeah. Call Bluetooth.
Really? There's two otters in the corner in a bedroom. It's just been crazy lately. I don't know what's going on.
Did any of them break out in song? I mean, you already have deer in your backyard.
I know. It's just the place is teeming with, we got chipmunks. We got all kinds of stuff floating around. But
little birds help Fern get dressed in the morning.
Yeah.
That's right. They drape her clothes down and she sings and runs
around. I hope the wasp wasn't some sort of emissary from the animal kingdom.
Yeah, well, they'll be looking for a replacement.
Listen, you two, I have important
wop.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.